Your Majesty, Rockpoint said after a moment, I can't dispute anything you've just said, but if we deploy 60 sail to Chisholm and Coruscant, that's only going to leave about 30 to keep an eye on waters closer to Old Karis. I know, Caleb said, but even with 60, we'll still be outnumbered in Chisholmian waters by better than 3 to 1. And frankly, if I'm going to be outnumbered 3 to 1 up against someone as good as Thirsk, then I think we have to be willing to take a chance on people as good as you and Brian being outnumbered 2 to 1 against a second-rater like Jadis. Rockpoint said nothing for a moment, then nodded. At the same time, though, I'm not repeating the mistake we made with Gwillem, Caleb said, his brown eyes hardening. We've got a lot more schooners than we need for blockade duty, especially now that Taro's joining the Empire, so I want at least 15 or 20 of them sent out with Niles. That ought to give me plenty of fast cruisers to picket Claw Island and the Ha Chong Narrows closely, which hopefully will explain how I'm managing to keep an eye on Thirsk, with enough more left over for effective hit-and-run raids in the Gulf to generally make his life as miserable as possible. I don't think we're likely to panic him into a misstep just by throwing commerce raiders at him, but I'm certainly willing to try. And it's not as if Thirsk is operating in a political vacuum, he continued. Even with Mike in his corner, Thoras still doing his best to stab him in the back. If I can raise enough havoc in the Gulf of Dolar and the same waters where Gwillem was operating, I may be able to give Thoras a hand. Caleb grimaced. Part of me hates doing that to an honorable man, but he's just too damned capable. I'll settle for getting him out of the way any way I can, I'm afraid. Actually, I think that's a very good idea, Lock Island said. If we hit them with an offensive of our own, we may preempt their plans, and I'll probably be able to send you even more schooners over the next couple of months. That, Merlin reflected, was true enough. Not only was the Navy's requirement for blockade vessels going to decline, as Caleb had just pointed out, but privateering was nowhere near as profitable as it once had been. By now, most of the church's merchant shipping was traveling in convoys, which were increasingly protected by ships, with enough artillery to make any attack upon them a chancy proposition. More to the point, though, there simply wasn't very much enemy merchant shipping left, which meant dozens of fast, agile, heavily armed schooners were being disposed of by privateering consortiums who no longer needed them. In fact, they were glutting the market so badly they could be picked up for the proverbial song. Good thinking, Caleb agreed. And as for the situation in Carisian and Taroisian waters, Dominic, don't forget, Edward's making progress with Alfred Shells now. He ought to be starting production in another month or so.
Starting production, Rockpoint repeated dryly.
Edward Hausman was as frustrated as anyone had ever seen him over the delays in putting seamount shells into production. Not that it was his fault. Not even his access to OWL could magically produce the equipment, the techniques, and, above all, the trained workforce he needed overnight. Especially since he was rather in the position Merlin had always been in. He could make suggestions, even have an occasional flash of brilliance, but to avoid charges of violating the prescriptions, he had to be able to demonstrate a development process, and, given the declaration of holy war, that was more important than ever. By now, he'd managed that, but he'd been deeply frustrated by how long it had taken. And once he'd managed that part, it had been only to run into almost intolerable weather delays in getting his new shell-producing manufactory up and running. Torrential rains, which went on seemingly forever. Weather-spawned avalanches, which imposed blockages on the canal system serving his ironworks. And then no less than 3 tropical storms blowing in off the Sea of Justice in a single 2-month period. If he hadn't known the truth about the archangels, the industrialist would have been inclined to think God really was on the other side.
But at least he finally had the foundations in, a roof on, and the furnaces under construction. Even so, it was going to be at least another 2 or 3 months, possibly even into March, before he was able to provide the new projectiles to the Navy in anything like adequate numbers.
"I know we're not going to be able to start issuing them until spring," Lock Island said now. "On the other hand, they're sending the vast bulk of their naval strength to Thirsk. Even if he decides to try a galleon-equipped version of the original Armageddon Reef plan, we'll have something like 6 or 7 months before he could possibly get to Old Cardis. Frankly, I don't think there's a chance in hell they'll try that again, though. Not after what happened last time, and not when Chisholm and Coruscant are so much closer to Gorath Bay. So the important thing is to get His Majesty reinforced heavily enough to deter Thirsk until Edward does have enough shells for us. Once that happens," the High Admiral smiled nastily, "we'll be the ones going looking for them, and they won't like it a bit when a shell-armed battle line catches up with them either."